There's a number that's been sitting in the background of every AI infrastructure story for the past year, and this week it became impossible to ignore. Only 20% of planned US AI data centers are currently under construction. The other 80%, representing trillions of dollars in announced investment, are stuck somewhere between permits, power agreements, water access negotiations, and community opposition.
Communities in Ohio and Wisconsin voted this week to freeze new data center permits, and a Virginia study found that a major aquifer feeding existing data centers has been tapped out, effectively overdrawn by the cooling water demands of server farms that were approved faster than the hydrological impact could be assessed. This is the physical constraint that all the AI investment announcements were glossing over.
The water issue is significant and underappreciated. Large language model training and inference is computationally intensive, which generates heat, which requires cooling, which in many facilities uses evaporative cooling systems that consume enormous amounts of water. A major data center can use millions of gallons per day. When you concentrate dozens of those facilities in a region, you're asking local watersheds to absorb a load they weren't designed for.
NVIDIA responded this week by investing billions in two companies focused specifically on AI power and data center infrastructure, essentially making a bet that solving the infrastructure bottleneck is where the next competitive advantage lies. If you're NVIDIA, you've already won the GPU war. Now the question is whether your customers can actually build the facilities to house those GPUs.
The SpaceX NVIDIA deal adds another layer. Analysts are warning that if SpaceX has preferential access to NVIDIA GPU supply, which the deal reportedly provides, smaller cloud competitors like CoreWeave, Lambda Labs, or regional players will find it harder to source the hardware they need. GPU supply constraints that were somewhat easing over the past 6 months could tighten again if large, well-capitalized buyers lock up allocation.
The Waymo fatality in Dallas this week is in a different category, but connects to the same theme of technology outpacing the frameworks designed to govern it. The incident was genuinely complex. A pedestrian was struck by a separate SUV driven by a human, and the impact threw that pedestrian into an unoccupied Waymo robotaxi. Waymo was not the proximate cause of the death, but the incident happened within days of Waymo launching its Dallas service, and the proximity in time makes it politically significant, regardless of the technical fault analysis.
The Flock camera story is a revealing counterpoint to the tech expansion narrative. Flock Safety's automated license plate readers have been installed in thousands of communities, and a growing resistance movement has emerged. Cameras are being stolen, physically removed, and in some jurisdictions, there are active investigations into their legal authorization. Communities that never got a meaningful vote on mass vehicle surveillance are now making their displeasure known through direct action. It's a pattern we're seeing across multiple technology deployments. The speed of installation outpacing democratic deliberation about whether the technology should be there at all.
This is exactly where antitrust thinking becomes relevant to the tech infrastructure space, Marcus. And I think this is a good moment to do our curriculum corner because the Paramount Warner deal we'll cover later has antitrust at its core, but the concept applies across a lot of today's stories.
Walk us through it.
So antitrust law in the U.S. is built primarily on two statutes, the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890 and the Clayton Act of 1914. The Sherman Act has two main provisions. Section 1 prohibits agreements between competitors that restrain trade, think price fixing, market allocation. Section 2 is the one most people invoke in tech context. It prohibits monopolization, which means using monopoly power to harm competition, not just having a dominant market position. And that distinction is crucial. The law doesn't punish companies for being big. It punishes companies for using bigness to crush rivals in ways that harm consumers. Having 60% market share is not illegal. Having 60% market share and then using exclusive contracts to prevent competitors from accessing distribution channels, that might be illegal. The classic analogy is a highway toll booth. Owning the only toll booth on a road is fine. Charging your competitors three times what you charge yourself to use that same road is where the law steps in. Applied to today's stories, NVIDIA's GPU deals, the data center concentration, even the browser AI downloads. The question antitrust regulators ask is the dominant player using its position to foreclose competition or just competing aggressively? Those often look similar from the outside.
Which is exactly why the Paramount Warner deal has generated so many regulatory questions. Paramount is essentially trying to pre-commit to behaviors 30 films per year in theaters to diffuse antitrust concerns before a regulator can raise them.